Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Robbie Knox, and I'm the landlord of the Moon Underwater, a mystical place where guests create their dream pub.
Hello, Dan. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, mate. How are you?
Very good. How are you enjoying the new refurbished Moon Underwater?
I like it. One of my concerns, I've been talking to some of the other regulars about it.
Okay, you are the only regular, really.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a very, very.
I've been talking sort of. I'm over with myself.
Very transient population in the realm.
It's the beer clips.
Yep.
Yeah, on the pumps.
What about them?
Yeah. You've replaced like all the beer signs, crests with your own face. It's quite confusing to know what you've got on the pumps.
I was trying to act out the different things.
Like, okay,
so for Doom Bar, I've got like a face of impending doom.
Yes, I suppose like it's still quite hard.
It's quite subtle, but yeah. I think everyone gets it, Dan.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I don't see it being at all confusing.
Yeah.
So okay. Yeah. I don't have a problem with the koi carp killing each other in the new pond in the back.
No, that's fine.
Is that all right?
There's a few of them have eaten each other.
Well, there were too many, really. I mean, it was more carp than water at the start.
Yeah.
It's like
survival
problems.
Of the fittest.
Teething
in the pond. Yeah.
Yeah. Any other features you're enjoying in there?
I mean, some people have nicked some of the squirrels.
Yeah.
Have you noticed you're down to 207 squirrels?
Yeah. But I mean, that's going to happen, isn't it? We've got loads out the back.
More
taxidermy squirrels out.
Yeah.
But that's great. A reminder to people, by the way, that the Moon Underwater not only has changed its interior decor, but it's changed its episodic structure with guests.
Yeah.
The first episode with a guest now, for those who listened to last week's episode with Kelly Shelley, will know that is the building of the pub.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second, sister episode or brother episode, depending on your sibling preference, that is going into the newly made pub and enjoying it and seeing what it's like.
Having a bit of pub chat.
And your pub quiz.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Now, I can't help but notice out the window, someone's approaching in a stagecoach over the moors.
Yeah.
I can't quite make out who it is. Can you?
I know who it is.
Who is it?
I think it's Alfie.
I think it might be. I think it's Alfie Templeman. How are you?
Hello. Very good.
Musical star. And may I say, I believe, since Dan and I took over the podcast, the youngest guest we have had.
Is that right?
Yeah. 21 years old, am I correct?
I am 21, yeah.
That is, I think, who would be the closest? Elliot Steele?
I think Elliot Steele's the closest,
yeah. It'd be a bit messed up if you had like a 12-year-old on this podcast, wouldn't it?
I mean, rating the pub play areas, perhaps. Yeah, I don't want to be asking your favourite draft beers and stuff like that. Interesting enough, you presumably, if you're 21 now, you would have turned 18 during lockdown era.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Oh, God.
Because that should be a time of exciting going to your first pub.
Yeah. You know, first pub, yeah, sure.
buying your first legal drink, perhaps, yeah.
No, it's all right. It's actually, my dad, when I was born, he made this, it's like slow gin.
Oh, yeah.
And he kept it going for about 18 years. So we cracked that open on my 18th birthday.
Really?
Wow. About a shot of that and I was on the floor. So yeah, it was good, yeah, to be
honest.
Can
you do? I didn't know you could keep it for 18 years.
What is a slow?
He was giving it some air and all sorts. Oh, it's like this like little plum thing. It's like plummy small plum.
Can you do, like, but you never hear it outside of the gin world. No one goes, I'm just going to have a quick slow. No.
Yeah.
So nah. Is there a use other than flavouring gin?
I think you might be able to do jams and preserves.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, a lot of that in the pantry no one's touched. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, good to know.
It needs to be mixed with a lot of sugar and or alcohol.
Okay. Yeah. If anyone has any other slow facts, let us know. Yeah. Robbie at moonunderpod.com.
Yeah, it's just one of those things.
.com. Were you already pubbing pre-lockdown then? Did you manage to get in some before then?
Yeah.
It's fine. There's judgment-free space here.
Yeah, yeah. It certainly did happen. There are a few pubs that I actually played that they wouldn't initially let me play. Like, we turned up to a few gigs and they're in pubs and they were like, oh, sorry, you're not allowed in.
So these gigs that you were, was it open mic things or were it things that you'd already been booked in for?
Yeah, we were like booked in for them. Like, there was one at the Great Escape in Brighton and they were like, oh, like, we turned up and I must have been about 15, 16 and the bouncer was like, nope. I was like, oh, I've got to go on stage in a minute, mate. Like,
did you not get in?
Well, eventually it was fine. Like, I don't know what happened, but we ended up getting pictures with the guy. We're like, hey, this guy. Yeah, it's one of them.
Oh,
yeah.
Fabulous.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, we're here, Alfie, to design your dream pub. First of all, what's your general aesthetic we're going for in the pub sort of thing? Is it traditional? Is it like a country boozer? Is it like a city centre?
Mate, no, absolutely. Wine bar? It's one of those old bloke pubs, definitely. You know, with like a really low roof where, you know, it probably hasn't changed since people were about 5'2" in like medieval
banging head on beams.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Fabulous.
Got no lager in it at all. Yeah.
Wonderful.
No lager. No, just all like really, really weak ale that people probably used to drink instead of water.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Because the water was unsanitary. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Want that Henry VIII diet, mate. Come on. Bring it in. Yeah.
Well, big, like chicken legs to eat.
Absolutely.
On the bar.
Yeah. Yeah. Tudor perfect. Style. Come on.
Well, look, you get one choice on draft. Yeah. What is your choice on draft going to be?
Well, this one, yeah, this one was a beer that my dad actually introduced me to and is definitely one of my favourite beers ever. It's called Old Speckled Hen. I'm sure you're...
I forgot to introduce to tell Dan to introduce his bell, but essentially, Dan salvaged this bar from a tugboat.
Yeah.
This bell from a tugboat.
Yeah.
And...
On the estuary.
And when it rings, as you can see now... one of your choices will miraculously appear in front of you through the magic of the moon underwater.
No.
It sometimes can be a little bit slow, but here it comes. And it is Old Speckled Hen.
Boys, come
in
on.
In the can.
Yes.
There we go.
Absolutely brilliant.
Should say we're recording. It's 10:50 in the morning, so there is no requirement.
No, it's not.
But it's fine. Okay, it's 10:50 p.m.
I would love an Old Speckled Hen right now.
Wonderful. Yeah. Okay.
I would absolutely love one.
Right.
Can I just crack it open?
Yeah, you absolutely
You guys go in as well.
While they're appearing in front of us, tell us why Old Speckled Hen.
Well, I think mainly because it's like, it's really fruity. It's like got a really nice fruity taste to it. And it's just really easy to drink as well. It's not gassy. That's the thing with lager. It's too gassy for me. I just can't do it. And like before playing a gig, it just like... go on stage and start burping my lyrics. So try to avoid that most of the time. And this guy is the one to do it.
I'm with you with that. I like something that's not too gassy.
Yeah, and this guy definitely isn't. And look at that amber colour as well. It's like.
And your dad introduced this to you. So you remember the moment.
When I was five. No,
did you know, I've finished this here before, the legal age at which you can give a... child alcohol in the UK is 5. You're allowed to give a 5-year-old alcohol at home, yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
That's mad, isn't it? That's so you got a 4-year-old coming home for reception. No beer for you, son, but you're in year one.
Yeah.
Here you go. Have a little pint of John Smith.
You worked hard at school today.
Yeah.
Here's your
when you start doing your phonetics.
Yeah, exactly. So here we are. I've not had an Old Speckled Hen for many a year. And I'm excited to...
Well, cheers.
And Alfie is also the first person, I think, ever... in the Premier League era or before, to choose Old Speckled Hen. Yeah. I'm quite surprised by that.
Nice.
I mean, it's fruity, isn't it?
It's very fruity. It's like eating a bag of raisins.
Yeah, really? It tastes of the 90s to me because I think that's probably the last time I drank it.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think so, yeah. It's but you always see it about, don't you? You certainly used to see it a lot more in the olden days.
But they got different ones. They got the old Crafty Hen.
Yes. They've got quite a few, haven't they?
Yeah.
Old Crafty Hen, Old Golden Hen.
Oh, have you got a list up?
Old Hoppy Hen. Yeah. Brilliant. And Old Master. Old Master Hen is the strongest at 7%. Oh.
Dan's like our expert on things, but as an expert who doesn't have any knowledge and just looks things up on his phone, or his laptop. So
Old Master Hen, I've never heard of that.
What's Old Master Hen about?
It's just a stronger, it's their strongest ale. It's brewed for the longest, and it's a 7% or strongest in the hen range.
So what's the brewery? Is there also a hen?
Well,
Moreland.
It was Moreland. Now, it's quite an interesting story, actually. So Moreland invented Old Speckled Hen, and Moreland has since been bought by Green King, but they carry it on.
Okay.
But Moreland invented
the major label.
Yeah.
Green King is kind of like
I used to be an Old Speckled Hen when they were on a little indie label.
But they were based in Abingdon in Oxfordshire, which is where the MG car factory was.
Right.
And they got to their 50th anniversary and they said to Moreland, can you knock us up a nice drink to celebrate our 50th anniversary? So they went away and made this drink, and but MG said, but we want to name it. And so it became known as Old Speckled Hen because in the MG factory, they had this weird, I'd like to see a picture of it, I haven't seen one, but it's sort of a weird experimental car that that workers used to like drive around the factory just to get short distances.
Is that right?
And it was called the MG Featherlight Saloon. And it had a
great name.
Yeah.
Catchy.
It had a wooden frame and it was covered with this black sort of cellulose fabric that was speckled gold. And the workers used to call it, I'm not gonna try to do an accent, but it's something like Old Speckledon.
Oh,
and so that's how Old Speckled Hen became the name for the beer.
That's an incredible fact. Yeah. If you had to guess, tell me to guess where the name would come from, I would be here my entire life unable to come anywhere close to it without even mentioning MG.
And it proved so popular. Like they made sort of a small amount of it for the celebrations. But before they got to the 50th anniversary, it was really popular and everyone had drunk it all. So they had to prove some more for the 50th. And then it went out into pubs and it just got...
People loved it.
Yeah, so they started brewing it. And then when Green King took over, they went, this is a really great beer. It's got more potential. And so it went around the country.
Oh, it's so good, yeah.
Do we know what happened to the car?
No, I don't know what happened to the car. It's a good question, actually. Because I don't think the MG factory is there anymore, so... Be interesting. Oh, yeah.
Somebody probably crashed it after drinking too many.
Yeah, I imagine so. Yeah. Is are ales your go-to drink then in a pub?
Not necessarily. I mean, most of the time I do just go for a Guinness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, it's just because it's normally just there and good. And
yeah.
I don't really love all ales, but that one's a good one. Some of them just taste like awful.
Yeah.
To me. Yeah. But they can be. It's quite a gamble a lot of the time. There's some sort of the older styles of ales that I'm not that into. You're more into them, probably, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Again, as Robbie said, I'm not an ale expert. But basically, if I go into a pub and there's an ale on that I haven't had before, I will almost always have that.
Yeah,
I'm quite. That's probably the one area of my life where I'm vaguely adventurous.
Yeah, fair enough.
What a bleak statement.
Yeah, there's another one I like called, I think it's called Old Hookie. They've all got old.
Oh yeah, Old Hookie's
that's
nice.
That's in Hook Norton. The brewery's in Hook Norton. Yeah. That's once again just like a really old beer. I guess.
You just like ones with old in the title.
I only like ales with old.
The retro appeal of them. You're wearing a 10cc shirt, so you've got very retro focused.
Yeah.
Was your dad a big ale drinker then?
I guess so.
Or preferred ale.
He actually told me that he didn't start drinking lager until he was my tour manager. My dad's a builder, but he started going on tour with me when I started out.
Brilliant.
So.
But was he a bit of a musician as well?
He plays guitar, but he just like taught himself, like listening to like, he liked like rockabilly and stuff. So,
nice.
So he was like a Ted in like the 70s. Like the second wave of Teddy Boys.
You taught yourself most instruments, didn't you?
Yeah, the only one I didn't was drums. I got some drum lessons from this legend, this like jazz drummer, and he taught me like all rudiments. So I can't really hit anything hard on drums, but I've got like good ghost notes and stuff. But everything else. My dad showed me about two chords probably. And then he's like, that's all I know.
So he's like, off you go. Yeah. Make some records.
Why was it drums the one that you got lessons on? Was it just...
Well, drums was like the first instrument I really took interest in, because like I listened to like a lot of progressive rock as a kid. Like I was watching like Neil Peart from Rush play drums and like Keith Moon and stuff. And I was like, oh, you know, I really want to take up playing drums. But then, I started playing them, but then I just made too much noise. So I think I just... My dad and my parents, like even my neighbors, were just like really nice about it and let me play drums. But yeah, I just got lessons because I just thought it was a good idea. And my dad was like really good and let me take them and paid for them. So big ups, Dad.
Yeah.
You got a new album out next month.
Yeah.
How much of that have you played yourself, and how much do you get other people playing on it these days?
I'd say like 70%, 80% of the instruments are me.
Wow.
Yeah. I tried to like... Every time I like put out a project, I try and play something new on it as well. So this time it was the theremin, you know, like it's really hard to play.
Yeah.
And it was invented by this Russian guy who's like, his name was like Leon Theremin.
Make a joke. I've always been theremin. Oh, it was.
His name was theremin.
Yeah.
It's a crazy instrument, but like Moog started making them like a few years ago. So I bought one. And yeah, it sounds awful. It sounds like strangling a cat. But if you can get it right and sample it, it becomes quite percussive rather than melodic.
Yeah.
So I did some really cool layers with that, which is cool.
Nice. And it's better than strangling a cat.
Yeah, I think it's a bit. It's a bit more ethical.
Woke. That is wokerati. Woke won't let you strangle a cat these days, will you?
Can't even strangle a cat on a Led Zeppelin album anymore.
Yeah, we used to be a proper country. Bottle or can, you get a choice of, Alfie. Oh. What are you going to have for that?
Yeah, Red Stripe.
Ah.
Red Stripe, yeah.
A terrific, and may I say, a very musically linked beer.
Yes, absolutely.
Sort of thing. So you have got lager in there after all.
Yeah, well, this one is weird because it doesn't just taste like lager to me. Like, it's got like a kind of interesting taste going on. Slightly ale-y. Watery taste.
Mm.
I don't know. It's like, probably the first beer I really drank, like touring and stuff. And I remember this this one time, like it's just always in riders, isn't it? Like Red Stripe is always just like the go-to drink and touring and stuff. But I remember this one time we took about like 48 cans of Red Stripe home with us after a gig. And we strapped it into the seat of our van. I've got a picture of it somewhere. Like, it was just ridiculous because, like, we got really excited. We were like, oh, my God, like, free beer. It's crazy.
I tell you what Red Stripe tastes of to me. Fun.
Yeah.
Because you never have a Red Stripe in a boring occasion. It's always like, I've sent it on before at a gig, at Nottingham Carnival, at a festival or something like that.
Mm.
I don't know how it's ended up associated so closely with music.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah. Dan?
It always has been. Well, I mean, we talked a bit about I think punk sort of got Red Stripe popular in Britain in the 70s. It was it was like a sort of drink of choice. And so that started. And then I read something out. This is Ben Bailey Smith was on and he chose Red Stripe as well. And I read something out saying that the Clash drank it a lot, and then I said, oh, and it was made famous because it was on an Oasis cover, album cover. And Robbie went, oh, well, which one is that? Because Robbie's a big fan of
Oasis. I want to guess that.
But I think Robbie might be right, because I had a look and I couldn't see one. But I did find out quite an interesting fact about it. And on the Definitely Maybe album cover, that was shot by a photographer called Michael Spencer Jones. And he said, this is the one that's kind of in a sort of living room. And
they're lying down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said, it would be quicker for me to read this, but he said the shoot was littered with Red Stripe cans, but there was no way I was having them in shot because it would just look like product placement. So they wanted some reference to alcohol in there. So I said, let's get some wine. There's some red wine.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, I don't know if this is a fact that you know, but that's not red wine in there. That's Ribena.
Is it?
Yeah, because... and he says there's an urban myth around that because it was early days of Oasis and they couldn't afford wine, which is a myth. But he said when he was at art college, he said that when you photograph you know, when you photograph red wine, it just looks black. So when you want it in a photograph, it's better to use Ribena because then it looks like
actually
red wine.
It does, yeah.
And you can dilute it to the level of red you want, I guess.
Exactly.
Oh, that's true as well.
It's one of the magics of Ribena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just, you know, similar thing in black and white, if you're filming in black and white, like in Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho, in the shower scene, famous shower scene.
Yes.
And the blood is running down, that's chocolate sauce.
Was it chocolate?
Yeah.
Wow. Was it tomato juice?
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Now, Alfie, you're designing your pub here, but we're not going to make you do all the work because every week Dan speaks to one of our listeners and gets a suggestion from them for what you might want in your pub.
Great.
You don't have to accept it. You can be as rude as you like to our listeners. We don't respect them in any way.
No. Cool, great.
So
I like
whatever
this
you
podcast,
like.
Yeah.
Whatever you like. Dan, who have you been speaking to this week?
Okay, so this week's listener suggestion is from Ford. Here's what Ford had to say.
Hey, guys. Love the pod. Cheers for having me on. My suggestion for Alfie is that his pub should have one tap that is exclusively for happiness in liquid form. This would be unique to each and every punter, and even they wouldn't know what they were going to drink until they'd ordered a pint of it. Much like that mirror in Harry Potter that shows the person their greatest desire, happiness in liquid form is a drink of the liquid that would make you the happiest in that current moment. After all, as Alfie says, I'm drinking it down, I just want to drown.
This sounds good. I mean, there was actually talk about this, funnily enough.
Was there? Oh, really?
There was a cider company that reached out and asked about making a cider called Happiness in Liquid Form.
Oh, nice.
I mean, it is a great name or tagline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I wrote the song about rain.
Okay.
I wasn't even thinking about beer or cider or booze in general.
You weren't having an old speckled in and going, this is happiness in liquid form.
I wasn't, no. I was just thinking about how much I like rain, honestly.
I like rain.
I think it's really underrated.
I don't use umbrellas.
No.
I'm sort of against umbrellas. I'll tell you why I'm against umbrellas is the main reason is because I am at the exact eye height of the spikes on girls' umbrellas.
Oh.
On your average woman in the street, her umbrella spikes are at my eye level and I've been poked in the eye many a time.
Have you?
That, ow.
So,
I bet that hurts as well.
Yeah. And I find them a little arrogant, if I'm honest. I don't know why you should get your own climate.
Yeah.
But we've gone off topic slightly. Yeah. Did the cider ever come to fruition or was any talk of it? Is it still going?
It didn't. I don't know why, but I'm very much down to, you know, to do something like that.
Yeah.
Well, Robbie did a few beers and
beers.
Stuff, didn't you?
Beers really back in the day. Yeah, it's fun to do.
Definitely, yeah.
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 What, you just like got one of them kits?
I got one of the kits first of all.
Yeah.
And then I made it and it turned out to be nice, which I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
My memory of like home brewing was people's dads when I was growing up who'd made these things in their kitchen that stank and it was all terrific.
Yeah.
but then it was quite good. And then I made some more and then made my own, try and make my own recipe. And I made a few, and I ended up like starting like a little mini brewery thing and doing collaboration things with other breweries around the country, sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's quite an art to it, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's quite fiddly. But I'm just surprised. It doesn't seem like the kind of thing you could do.
Yeah.
Like if you said you've got to make a pack of crisps.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do that at home.
No.
Do you know what I mean? That feels like you need a factory. Like, I thought the beer was something you needed a factory for, but you can just do it in your kitchen with a few bits and bobs.
Interesting. I found that out about pickling. Oh. I've been making really good pickles.
Really? What are you pickling?
Onions? I just like, no, just like pickles, like gherkins.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
We get through a lot of gherkins in my house. My son loves them, yeah.
Well, you should start making them.
Okay.
Rice, wine, vinegar.
So where'd you get an I don't think I've ever seen an unpickled gherkin. Where'd you get the unpickled gherkin?
Well, you just get like small cucumbers, you know, like you can just go to like a greengrocer's and get those baby cucumbers. Or you can grow them. You know those ones that you can grow?
Yeah.
That are like...
Sorry, is a gherkin just a pickled cucumber?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
What is wrong with you? What do you mean?
What? That has blown my mind. Why have they got a different name? Why are pickled onions just called pickled onions?
That is a good argument.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
You didn't know?
Because I love cucumbers. I'm not that keen on the gherkins.
That's because of the pickled bit.
I'm a fan of both.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair enough.
I had a phase where I didn't like cucumbers. Went on for about 4 years.
Okay.
Luckily, I came out of it.
Yeah.
And
was there a bad experience that started this?
Yeah, there was. I got food poisoning in Spain.
From a cucumber?
No, not from cucumber. I got it from a shrimp.
Yeah.
And my sister, after I was ill, like we went to dinner, I wasn't feeling very well. And my sister was eating cucumber in front of me. And the smell wafted in front of my nose.
Okay.
I was like, I've got to get out of here. And then ran to the toilets and just started puking. And then, 4 years of not being able to tolerate any smell of cucumber or even looking at the thing scared the shit out of me.
So most people, especially at around your age, Alfie, and I certainly had a thing around that age of a night out that ended with a very large glass of Cointreau, which didn't last very long in my body.
Oh, yeah.
And then I couldn't drink Cointreau for a long time. But it's cucumber. It's quite nice.
That's limoncello as well now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad you've come out the other side of your cucumber.
Yeah. And now I'm a pickle master.
And you're a pickle master. Yeah. Can you pickle anything? I don't mean you personally. I mean one. Can one pickle anything?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah.
Any vegetable or fruit?
Yeah, you can pickle anything.
If you set your mind to it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
I want you to call your next album You Can
Pickle You Can Pickle Anything. Yeah. And it's like instruments, like pickling the drum set. It's like track one.
In brackets, if you set your mind to it.
Yeah. Track two, teeth.
It's just like I'm trying to get on with the show, but all I'm thinking about is that cucumbers and gherkins are the same thing.
It's a revelation, isn't it?
So you could make... Sorry, I will. We will go back to the bubble.
Oh, there's pickle beer as well. Sorry, I have to get that in there. Okay. I tried pickle beer.
Pickled beer?
No, as in like, it was like pickle juice mixed with beer.
Okay. Oh.
It's absolutely amazing.
Really?
It's so good.
So if I had
what's the quantity mix?
I don't know the exact ratio, but
okay. My final pickle question, then we'll move on. If I had a big enough jar, could I get a full size cucumber and make a massive pickle, massive mega gherkin?
Yes.
Yeah. So I could make a mega gherkin for my son's next birthday and wrap him up. Right.
Enlarged chip shop gherkin.
Yeah. Okay. Amazing.
I was actually thinking that one time. Yeah. That surely that's possible. Like, what's the biggest cucumber someone's grown?
Yeah.
And then just find the biggest jar.
Yeah.
And then
You probably want like a tube, like a drain pipe you could convert into a pickle jar, couldn't you? Okay, well, I've got a new project for the summer.
Yeah,
good.
It's amazing. So are pickles going to be on the in the pub?
Oh, yeah.
On the bar?
I think so. Pickle chips.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
pickle
chips. Fried pickles. Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Very good.
That does sound really nice.
It's getting a bit American, isn't it? Like, I mean, I definitely had that in the States, but I've definitely had it here as well. Like pickle chips with ranch. Or like hot sauce.
Nice.
Yes, it's a thing. So it's really good.
That's the snacks.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the snacks.
Okay.
Peanuts.
Fabulous. I
want to
try that.
Got
to
go for peanuts, obviously. Oh, yeah. It's classic.
Yeah, yeah.
You get one spirit in your pub.
Oh, yeah, yeah, one spirit.
What
I mean,
it's
obviously tequila.
Mm.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Tequila, but it has to be with salt and lime.
Okay.
Unless you're a monster.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's the best one to have. Like, it just gets me going again. Like, if I get a little bit tired, I have a shot of tequila in the pub. I'm like,
it's party time, isn't it?
Yeah, it's party time. Yeah. Yeah. Just keeps you going.
We've had tequila last time, I think.
Yeah, Kelly Shirley
picked. Is it becoming more popular than tequila?
It is, actually. It's becoming like tequila is booming.
Is it?
Yeah. They reckon in by the year 2031, the sector will generate sales of $24.19 billion.
Wow.
Which is pretty huge per year.
Yeah, I don't really know. I say wow. I don't know whether that's big in terms of booze sectors.
I think it is for spirit sectors.
Well, yeah. Certainly, do you know what the biggest spirit is in the UK at the moment? Like, what do people normally?
I don't know. Surely do you know the answer?
I would say vodka. Oh, sorry. I thought you knew.
I'm just guessing. It's vodka, surely.
You did a festival out in Mexico, didn't you?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So did you get some good tequila when you were out there?
Yeah, actually, I did, and mezcal as well. Yeah. They gave me all sorts of different flavoured, like mezcal and tequilas and stuff. And I drank a lot of Corona out there as well.
Did you?
Yeah, because it was Corona Capital, so it makes sense. It was sponsored by Corona. Which I must say, Corona's a really good, like, for mass-produced lagers, like...
Nice and summery, isn't it?
Corona's very good.
Yeah, easy drinking.
And it goes back to, like, the whole salt and lime thing. Like, you salt your beers. If you're going to drink, like, lager, salt it. It's really good.
Wow.
You should try it. Yeah, okay. Like put some salt around the rim and then even a bit in the beer. It's really good. Bit of lime.
All right.
Amazing. Yeah.
But do you know what? That makes sense because I like a sort of a goza that's the style that's got, it is quite salty sort of anyway sort of thing. So yeah, so maybe that's what you just need to be doing with
absolutely
the can of Coors.
I was also just in Sicily and they started actually doing beers with the salt already added. Like there's a really good one called Messina, which you can only get really in Sicily. Which apparently is just Heineken, okay. which actually kind of ruined it for me because I was like, yeah, this is really good. And then I was drinking it and my girlfriend, she's Sicilian. So her uncle was just saying like, that's just Heineken, like stay away. It's not good.
Oh, really?
But it had salt added to it and that's what made it so good. And I think you can actually get Moretti over here that's got like sea salt added.
Really?
It's really good.
I really want to try that now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. I must say it's better when you add it yourself though. I don't know if it's just like placebo or something. I don't know. But.
Well, then because you can add your special Morden sea salt then, can't you?
Yeah, your pink Himalayan. Yeah.
Yeah. Although the Italians know how to do the sea salt thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, true.
Yeah, I will trust the already added stuff. The salt if it's Italian.
They love putting salt in stuff. Italians.
Yeah.
I got a cookbook called The Silver Spoon. It's like this definitive. It's like. I did a recipe the other day that's on page over 1,000. That shows how big it is. And it's like this definitive Italian cookbook. It's brilliant. And there's a bit on the cooking dried pasta. I was going to do penne arrabbiata. I thought, God, I wonder what the secret is that Italians have to making things taste so good. Loads of salt, loads of oil. That's it.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
It starts off like add 6 tablespoons of oil.
Yeah. What? Yeah, no, for real. And then after they've made it, they'll probably add more oil on top.
Yeah. And the amount of salt you're supposed to put in when you're making, just cooking dried pasta, it's like pouring a salt thing for like about 20 seconds.
I know.
It's mad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, my girlfriend always calls it like an Italian pinch. Because like,
just
got like,
fistful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous, but yeah.
Is she good cook? Good talent,
chef? Definitely. She knows what to do.
Oh, that is a bonus. Stuff.
Yeah, it's bonus. Yeah, we cook. We're split down the middle of cooking now. I've started like picking up on like the Sicilian cooking, like broccoli orecchietti, which is really easy to make. You just like put in a couple of anchovies and then some broccoli, a little bit of lemon.
Yeah,
yeah.
Then that sounds great.
It's really nice.
It's really good.
I started that. Yeah, I just started doing that last summer. Yeah,
it's really good. Yeah, it's classic.
What does she think of British food?
Oh, no, she likes fish and chips, mate. Yeah,
Everyone likes fish and chips.
Everyone likes fish and chips. She's obsessed with cream crackers, mate.
Is she?
Yeah.
Well, they're great.
What, having them raw or with anything on, with cheese on them or butter on them or anything?
So, most of the time with a bit of cheese. Yeah. Definitely probably caught her eating them just by themselves. So.
Yeah.
They're playing.
Yeah.
No judgment here.
Yeah, absolutely.
In your pub, what's going to be your policy on live music? As in, are you going to have live music in the bar? Is it going to be a separate room? Is it going to be... What sort of stuff?
Oh, mate. Yeah. No, I want the most weird stuff going on, honestly. Okay. Yeah, I want some, like, avant-garde stuff.
Yeah. And in the main area of the pub?
Yeah, everywhere. Yeah. I want like the, you know, like the bartender could be serving something and then just like pull out like, I don't know, a theremin maybe.
Yeah.
Or like...
Maybe like some pubs always have a piano in there. Maybe you can have one of those just permanently in the corner.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, my local pubs is great for live music. They normally have like fiddle players just like sat on the tables, like playing fiddles and stuff. Big That's Up Skiing's great. Classic. Yeah. It's a good pub. Yeah, it's great. But yeah, I'd go for the avant-garde method. I'd just like get everyone going. Yeah, you're only allowed in the pub if you like bring some weird instrument.
Okay, you're going to have open mic nights then where everyone can bring their own weird instrument.
It turns into like a Captain Beefheart gig or something. Yeah. It'd be great.
I try and bring my son's recorder. You're going to have recorder music these days, do you? Oh, fabulous. Any restrictions on styles of music? Is it going to be that? Or are you going to have... heavy metal bands and occasionally sort of thing.
I'm down for that. Yeah. I'm open to anything. I'm trying to think. Not too much country music.
No?
Yeah. I don't really enjoy too much country music.
No?
Yeah.
I reckon you might do in a few years.
Yeah, I might open up to it a bit more.
I think so. I think that's how it happens with country music a bit.
Yeah. I'm still kind of, split down the middle with it. Mm. I love folk, but...
Yeah. Beyonce is your gateway drug, isn't it, to get you into that sort of thing. There we go. Right, you get a wild card choice in here, which can be any drink of your choosing. What are you going to pick?
Oh, yes. Okay, this one's going to take some explaining, but it's a drink called the Michelada.
I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
No. I hadn't heard of it, but then I've done some research.
You've done some research?
Yeah.
Dan knows stuff. I like the element of surprise. I don't know what you're going to say.
I'm kind of intrigued to know what the research says, because there's many different versions of this drink.
Well, that's the thing, I think, is that it it's got different origin stories and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's sort of beer with some lime juice, but then different sauces.
Yes.
But some people put Worcestershire sauce, some people put tomato sauce, some people put Clamato sauce.
Oh, Clamato.
Yeah.
Clamato. This is the one that's going to take some explaining. Okay. So the way I make a Michelada is it's like with a Mexican beer. So you can take like a Madeo, you can take like a Sol or like any kind of like Mexican beer. And then you mix it with this thing called Clamato, which, sounds disgusting. But you know how like tomato juice is normally quite thick?
Yeah.
Clamato is very thin. So it basically mixes.
Is it clam and tomato?
Yeah. It's clam broth mixed with tomato juice, which sounds disgusting, but for some reason it's so good. It's really salty. Once again, salt and beer.
Yeah.
And what I do is, the first thing you do is you get your glass and you
rim it with a pint glass.
Yeah, you get a pint glass and you put tajin around it, which is like this seasoning from Mexico.
Like the stuff you get that goes into like tahini.
No, not tahini.
No, not tahini.
It's different to that.
No. So this is like...
You can't put tahini around it.
No,
that's why.
That would be wrong, mate. Yeah. That would be naff. Yeah. No, it's like dried chilies mixed with salt.
Okay.
So you put that around the rim. You put a bit of lime around the rim so it like sticks to it.
Okay.
And then what you do next is you add a little bit of hot sauce, add a little bit of Worcestershire sauce, that's normally about all I do. And then add probably about a third of the glass is Clamato. And then the rest of it is beer. And then you kind of just give it a good stir and then add a bunch of lime juice to it. And that's like my classic Michelada. Although if you go to Mexico and order a Michelada, they won't give you tomato juice. Like that's a separate thing.
Okay.
It has a name, but I can't remember what it is. But it's something about being hungover.
So does this taste Bloody Mary-ish?
Yeah. But
see, I lived in Canada for a year and
Caesar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their national cocktail is the Caesar, which is basically a Bloody Mary with Clamato juice. Because when I'm having a Bloody Mary, I personally think, do you know what this needs? More clams.
Yeah.
Always. But it works.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? See, it's one of those things that it sounds horrible, but when you drink it, it's good.
Yeah.
But did you ever have one of those ones that had literally like 15 cheeseburgers on top?
I will show you a photo of me with one of those.
Have you had one of them?
There's a place in Vancouver called Score on Davy. I don't know. I'm not sure they still do it, but we did get one of those.
Did you? Yeah.
I'll show you afterwards. That is just ridiculous. But the thing is, when you buy one, people come and take photos with it, sort of thing. Everyone's amazed. But the problem is, it's one drink and they have, it's an incredible, like, architectural delight. Things coming off the side, all these hot dogs, burgers, pulled pork buns, brownies, all sorts of stuff. But there's only one drink with it. So you,
I know.
So you can't eat it all yourself. You have to order it within five people. And you go, oh, there's only like a tiny bit of drink. So
yeah.
You have to buy
I've never understood just that concept in general. Yeah.
Well, it started off, I think, you'd have the drink and then people would put maybe like a bit of crispy bacon or something in it. And they'd have increasingly more extravagant garnishes and then it's gone to its sort of...
It's gone to the absolute extreme.
Conclusion. Yeah. So I don't know if it's Score and Davy in Vancouver, certainly Vancouver's most audacious Caesars.
But it is literally that, but rather than vodka, it's beer. Because it's all the same things. Like, they probably put lime in the Caesar. And,
Probably.
It's the same thing, but with beer instead, like a Mexican lager.
Where did you discover it?
So I think it was in Mexico, but I didn't have it with Clamato. But then I went to Barcelona and there was a place in Barcelona called El Pachuco and they did micheladas and they did them with Clamato. So I started getting them over there like every time I went to Barcelona.
Whereabouts in Barcelona is it? Do you know what area?
It's really close to Paral·lel. It's like probably like 5 minute walk from like the station.
Because I'm there next month and I've got a friend who lives just off Paral·lel, so that's perfect.
Well, go there. Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called El Pachuco.
El Pachuco.
Yeah. It's really good. Yeah.
Is it? It's not one of the pincho bars on as well that does the little stick things.
It's just like you have to pay with cash. It's like a really small little restaurant, but it's amazing. The food's really good as well. Right. It's like Mexican food, but amazing micheladas.
I'm gonna do that and I'll come back and report to you, Dan.
Yeah. I'm just still. Because we were saying the other day that I think I've had a Bloody Mary once or twice, but I don't really drink that. I don't know. There's something that I'm a bit scared of. I don't know what
really?
It is. But when do you drink that? When do you drink them as a morning after, or is it like
what Bloody Marys
evening? Micheladas.
Well, micheladas. Yeah, I think one of the origin stories you might see is like people drink them as like a morning after drink. Mm. But I feel like that's kind of wrong. It doesn't taste right in the morning.
Okay.
Because it's like beer, you know?
Yeah.
I say that, but I'm drinking.
Yeah, the old speckled egg's gone down well, yeah.
But I'd say have it in like the evening when you're just like having it. It is quite filling. So there have been a few times where me and my girlfriend have made them like before dinner and we've had one and then we're like, oh, I'm not hungry anymore.
Because
it's like a full meal.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd say like, yeah, maybe have like a light. Maybe have a light lunch or something and have one. Maybe that's the way of doing it, actually.
Have you found anywhere in the UK that does them?
Well, there are a few places. I'm yet to find one that does it to my taste. Okay. I guess that's what you were saying about Bloody Mary. Like, you're kind of scared because you don't really know how people are going to do it. And it's like one of those things you'd almost rather do yourself.
Yeah.
But, I normally just buy the ingredients and then do it myself.
Amazing.
But there are a few places that do it around London, but like it's actually crazy. We have to call up. Oh, it's so embarrassing. We have to call them up normally and be like, do you do it with Clamato?
Yeah.
Because if you don't do it with Clamato, it's like really thick.
We're not coming.
Tomato juice. And it just doesn't work, you know?
We've had drinks occasionally on here that I've been unaware of, and that is the one I am most keen to try.
I do want to have that, but I only want to have Alfie's, though.
Oh, well, I'm going to have it in Barcelona.
I can literally make you a Michelada.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a great idea for the pub as well, because that is a great hook to get people in.
Yeah.
Because people will be going, have you been to that new pub? They've got these amazing Micheladas.
The only problem is it takes about 15 minutes to make one.
Yeah. We maybe need a separate bar person that's
just
there. Just does that. Bar.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
That's, wow.
Great choice.
Fabulous, fabulous choice. You are barred. We've seen what you want in your pub, but what don't you want in? You get to bar one thing from your pub.
Yeah.
What's it going to be?
Existential conversations.
Interesting. Explain your thinking here.
I'm just fed up of going to the pub and deeping everything all the time with people, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, where am I at life? And, oh, what is the point of life? And all of this stuff, you know? Like, the other day, like, I was with my mates and we just started getting a mad one. And I was like, I was nearly going to leave. I was like, I can't do this. Like, I just came for a pint, like, you know? So I'm just fed up with that.
That's definitely a modern phenomenon, I think, in that respect. So, and he's certainly talking about feelings and things like that. It wasn't really a thing when we were younger sort of thing. But
I mean, mainly I just talk about football in the pub, I think.
Yeah, that's mainly. Something I know nothing about.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know what I talk about in the pub. I think I just sit there in silence, contemplate what I've done with my life.
Yeah.
Why I'm
here. He's just banning
none of that.
That.
None of that.
No,
hey,
yeah, okay.
You're out.
Yeah, but
you're bad.
I'm internally having internal conversations.
Yeah, no, that's yeah. still not allowed.
Okay, that's fair
you're
enough.
Not even allowed to think. Okay. About that stuff.
Fine.
Yeah.
What are your preferred topic of conversation then? If someone comes and goes, look, I'm new to the pub, I've not been here before, I was going to have an existential chat.
I was going
but
to.
Now I've seen the sign you've got on the wall that explains the rules. I'm new to these sort of chats. What sort of things could I talk about in your pub?
I bet you could talk about anything apart from that. Okay. Like, for me, toilet humour, always.
Okay.
Just really bad jokes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. With the boys.
No, I like that. I think that's a good rule.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I mean, you know, you're going to be walking in there, you're going to be ordering a Michelada, there's going to be some weird music playing, and there's a bloke playing a what's it called?
Theremin. Yeah.
In the corner.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't think I'd probably want to have an existential conversation.
No, you wouldn't.
That anyway,
you'd be too distracted.
Yeah.
You'd
I
be
do wonder
your
if
best
those
life.
Things would cause an existential conversation there about
well,
things.
Why are we in life? Yeah, like... Yeah, why am I here?
We're
all one thing will counteract the other.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, fabulous. I think that's a terrific rule, and I approve fully of that. One final thing we've got to decide for the creation of the Moon Underwater before the magic will go and create this pub around us, and that is the name. What are we going to call it?
Oh yes, I've gone for the Trousered Turtle.
Oh. You have to do a little bit of explaining there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I just like turtles in general. Yeah. And, you know, obviously, like, probably drink a lot, right? And trousered comes from, it's a term that my dad used to use when he got really plastered, like really drunk. I'd never really heard of it before. It's like, he has all these different ones, like trousered, hand-carted.
It's the like, ED rule, isn't it? Anything with ED on.
Yeah, ED, which we used to actually do around the country when we used to go tour, and we used to say like Liverpool and like Birmingham.
Totally Birmingham. Yeah.
Western Supermed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Childhood Turtle I just thought was a banging name, you know?
Same like, nice name. I like that.
I could just imagine like a turtle at the front. Like, we're like,
Yeah.
Is that going to be the pub sign? Is it going to be a turtle?
Yeah, like in trousers also, like absolutely pissed as shit.
I was at a pub quiz last night, and there was a question about, the question where one of the options was turtles. It was about someone, I get the exact number wrong, but it was someone who'd bought a pet in America and they got it home and it's immediately given birth to...
Are you allowed to do that?
To 60 different things. They didn't know it was pregnant when they bought 60 it.
60 different things?
60, yeah, what was 60, it?
Well, what the choices was, is it either a tarantula, an octopus, or a turtle?
Oh.
And we ruled out turtle because we thought, don't they lay eggs? You never see a turtle just
they lay
smashing
eggs.
Out 60-odd eggs.
It was an octopus, wasn't it?
It was an octopus. We got it wrong. We said tarantula.
Yeah.
Great knowledge.
Because, how's
that? We only finished 2 points off winning, so with you there, we could have...
That's a shame. Yeah, last time I did a pub quiz... We did all of it, and then they announced it backwards. So we thought we won, but we actually came last.
Oh no!
you're
all cheering,
and we all cheered. Yeah, that was really embarrassing.
Wonderful. Well, Alfie, thank you for coming here to create our dream pub with us today. We're now going to sit back in awe as the Moon Underwater magically conjures your pub into reality. In the next episode of the Moon Underwater, we'll have a drink in it, and we can see how you are at pub quizzes. Because Dan's going to give us a pub quiz.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.